All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night. Lots to talk about tonight, as always, and we are, of course, taking your phone calls at 333-2665, but as we mentioned, plenty to talk about. Deflategate won't go away. Hoping for more news conferences this week on the PSI and all these great things about barometric pressure and things. This will be a fantastic week leading up to the Super Bowl. Huge Pro Bowl yesterday. No, not really. I don't even know. Didn't even know what channel it was on. But maybe you'll watch it. There were a bunch of Colts out there, some deserving players, certainly throughout the course of the year. But more importantly, around here, we had another weekend and week of college basketball. Hoosiers went on the road yesterday to Columbus, Ohio, and Ohio State turned the tables. The home team wins the series, and the season split as Ohio State wins 82-70. Ohio State has found Jashaun Tate since they began playing Indiana earlier this year and went ahead and sat Amir Williams for the entire game, which he did most of the game in the first meeting against them. But once again, another team having to match up and go small with the Hoosiers. Hoosiers started out on fire, so brought it at least for a little while, but on the defensive end and certainly on the ball handling end, not nearly as good as they have been. And Ohio State, second best offense right now statistically in Big Ten games, ahead of Indiana. So this is a good offensive team. You've got to defend them at least a little bit. Not a whole heck of a lot about this. Glass, this is a road game. It's in the Big Ten. It's, again, what at this point in time is one of the better teams in the Big Ten. It's hard for me to look at this and take a huge doom and gloom of any kind. You're 5-2 in the Big Ten and you lost at Ohio State. That's not exactly the biggest shock. But what bums you out, I know, more than anything else, is that you look at this and you say three things are going to hurt this team: bad defense, turnovers, and a lack of rebounding. And they lost two of the three of those battles this weekend.
Well, and you also saw how their post game was exploited by a team doing very similar things to what they did against Maryland. That was interesting that Jashaun Tate, I don't think, had a shot from more than 2 feet away from the basket, went 9-10, and the one he missed, he tipped back in and scored there. So it wasn't like he got hot and hit 5 or 6 threes and you didn't know what to do with the guy because you'd never seen him before. He went down in the block and did the dirty work and got after it. But what Indiana saw on Sunday afternoon was exactly what Maryland saw on Thursday night at the Assembly Hall. Hey, we're making a bunch of threes. Hey, we're shooting over 50%. We're getting killed. That's what happened, because you couldn't get any stops. Ohio State shot 75% in the second half. 75%. Yep. You're not going to beat anybody at any level doing anything except making threes, and they make twos, and you'd have to make 10 more than they would just to cover up a 10-point lead. It doesn't happen that way. The Hoosiers, in spurts, played some good defense, so I don't buy this whole thing that they stink defensively completely. They stink in spurts because they don't play 40 minutes of defense, right. And that's the thing that they need to grow up and learn how to do. They turn the ball over simply because there's two reasons why. They dribble too much, and there's no two ways around it. All their turnovers, for the most part, are dribble, 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 or a four-minute span. They're running the three-man weave. I got it. You got it. Oh, I don't want it. You don't want it. It's out of bounds.
It's out of bounds.
And again, there were so many times. And let's go back. The turnovers are a problem. Yes, the defense is a problem. But it's also the offense. And you say, well, Glass, he made 11 threes. He shot 11 of 25. What more do you want? Well, and then they shot 52% from the field. Go back and watch. A lot of those were shots, not the best shots that went in.
No.
And sometimes when those go in, you think, well, we can do more of that. But there were times in the second half, the ball would cross the free throw line extended. If you took the free throw line, you know where the free throw line is?
Sure.
Right? And if you extended it all the way across the court, it would go underneath that once in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So Tom Crean talks about going through the paint to get action, to get people moving, to get better opportunities for kickouts and layups and fouls and everything else. The ball once in 30 seconds. This was more than, trust me, I just watched tape. There was a lot of times it's dribble, dribble, three-man weave, and Yogi brings it back out with 10 seconds on the shot clock and tries to break a guy down and go. And when that doesn't work, Indiana stands. Tom Crean mentioned this first thing in his postgame. We didn't cut, we didn't move. Well, when the ball's out there and guys are, everybody's waiting for something to happen, and that's the thing. And the key to this game was, yes, they shot it very well from three. Yes, they shot it very well from the field on the road. You would take those numbers any night.
Sure.
When Yogi Ferrell, I can't remember if it's Yogi here. I got it from you. Let me take a look real quick. This is the point. Foul by Shannon Scott with a minute 15 to go in a game. Indiana's not in the penalty.
Yeah.
They're not in the bonus. You know why?
12 of 25 on threes, which is great.
I'm sorry, I said 11.
I think you're right, though. What it did is it showed up some warts, because eight free throw attempts means they were not getting the ball into the paint.
And exactly right.
They average over 20 free throw attempts a game. This isn't dominant, but they didn't get there.
Ohio State didn't get the bonus.
Yeah.
Indiana couldn't get any free points with the clock stopped, mm-hmm. so that puts a ton more pressure on their offense having to score. And when you give up 75% shooting, those are a recipe for disaster. So Indiana got a taste of their own medicine, because it looked just like what Maryland was doing. Hey, there's another basket for Maryland. Geez, we're shooting great. We're down 15 points because everything the other team throws up goes in. But what you didn't see Ohio State do, when Ohio State had these leads, Indiana would cut it 13-10. Mm-hmm. 10-7, and Ohio State would score and score and score, yeah. And it was layups. You weren't forcing them late in the shot clocks. You weren't forcing them into any uncomfortable situations.
It was not stopping the ball out on the perimeter, which has been one of its biggest problems this year.
And if you watch the other part of this game, when Ohio State decided to get in transition or try to move, Indiana runs the spots too much. I don't know if that's a product of playing too many defenses and you're not sure which one you're in, mm-hmm. but when you see guys, there's a play in the second half, early in the second half, Indiana, I think, missed a shot. Here comes D'Angelo Russell, and Thompson's running on the right flank, and behind him, closest to the Ohio State bench, is Williams. So Thompson keeps going, and Russell just throws him a 50-yard pass. He catches it in his hands, and he tries to reverse dunk it. But nobody is taught to be on that side. So even if you're running,
where are you
running to your wing spot to cover the 2-3 zone? But it's the fundamental things like that. You saw Russell sometimes go down the middle of the court and go, "Where is everybody? I'll just keep going until someone picks me up." Yeah. You see guys run into the block. You see guys run into the wing. Stop the basketball. It's the first thing you learn at any kind of level.
Well, and the frustrating
thing
about
that. And that's the simple part. And good teams make you pay. Bad teams don't.
Of course. And this is a good offense that they were playing this weekend. I mean, that's the thing to keep in mind is Ohio State.
This is the offense you thought you'd see at Indiana.
Seen Ohio State with some mediocre shooting the last couple of years. This team actually does a pretty good job, and they get the ball inside even with their small lineup. The problem, of course, is we saw this small lineup in the last game, so it shouldn't have been all that shocking. Of course, they had more time to work on it. Teams are having to react to our small lineup, and they are doing so, and most of them are struggling with it. In this particular case, we didn't make them struggle. That I think, is the frustrating thing about it. Look, it's a road game. It's at Ohio State. They're one of the better teams out there. They're one of the more explosive teams out there. It's not the end of the world. But that defensive thing and the turnovers, but to me, the defense, you've got to stay in front of your man and make it difficult at least. If he pops the threes over your head,
Ohio State did a few of those times.
Go ahead.
Exactly.
Go ahead. I mean, I get that. It stinks, but go ahead and have that. Don't give them the easy balls where they just destroy your defense running around you.
And don't forget that Ohio State's best victory going into that game was 97th ranked High Point. This Ohio State team hasn't been beaten up
they beat
big
Marquette.
Time teams.
I don't know where they're ranked. Well, it's
behind High Point.
Yeah, we're their best win.
And the only win within the top 50. So we can't. Yeah. Ohio State has wonderful potential. You could argue their freshmen and sophomores are just as good, if not better, than the ones Indiana has. And you saw that Jalen or Jashaun Tate again went down in the post at 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah,
he Colin Hartman. What do I mean by that? Big guys in the post don't like playing small guys in the post. Why? Well, they're quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mara Williams and Colin Hartman, I give that to Colin Hartman every time because Hartman can do anything to him. Well, Tate's more of a guard who likes to post up as opposed to a big guy that posts up.
Right.
So the advantage was to Tate. You saw him handle Zeisloft on the block a couple times. You saw him get in there. Troy Williams, Stan Robinson, you can just keep throwing all the guys out. It was a guy that took advantage of what was given to him,
mm-hmm.
and Ohio State didn't try to create anything they didn't need to. They were very patient. They were at home, and being at home in the Big Ten seems to be quite an advantage. The Hoosiers proved that on Thursday night, and they showed why it doesn't always work in their favor on the road.
Again, Maryland's lost twice on the road. Wisconsin lost at Rutgers. Michigan State lost at Nebraska. Road is tough.
It is.
And that's a pretty good team they played. We'll talk a little bit more about that and look back to Maryland also when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Just a quick reminder, we have the Super Bowl coming up this weekend for you on WGCL. Coverage starts at 2 o'clock. That's an awful lot of pregame heading into the Super Bowl. A
lot of football.
Talk about all those footballs and the PSI and all that stuff. Important stuff.
You could do about 25 hours pregame on the Patriots and their cheating ways over the last 15 years in professional football if you really wanted to get into
sure.
it.
I'm sure they've only done those two things, though.
No, those only two things they've been caught doing.
So. No, I'm sure that's all it was.
That's it.
That's all it was. 333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU basketball, beat Maryland here in the Assembly Hall on Wednesday night and then went to Ohio State, lost 82-70 over the weekend. Let me ask you a question, a little bit more philosophical question. A lot of IU fans I'm hearing complaining more about the defense and the lack thereof than talking about the fact that this team is 5-2 in the Big Ten, top three, top four, whatever you want to put it at right now. A lot of season, I get that. This is a decent basketball team. It's not a great basketball team, but it's not a very good defensive team on the whole. It's not awful most nights. It was this weekend. Is there something around here about needing to be good defensively? I mean, is there something into Hoosier fans about that?
I think people like good basketball. And when you give up that many points and let a team shoot 75% against you, that's not good. It's not – I mean, it's exciting if you win.
No, this weekend's a bad example,
of
course.
If you win those games, but again, their defensive effort against Maryland, their defensive effort against Maryland was scoring 89 points. It's not like they shut – again, Trimble had a tough night on the road as a freshman in the Big Ten. He's going to. It's the first time that team's ever been in that building as well. I mean, Northwestern's been there times, and you've gone through that. So I just think people want better basketball. I think the other thing that people want to see is the show on the road. And no offense, Nebraska, they beat Michigan State in the week, great. And Illinois, awesome. But if you're going to win the league, and that's what people want, that's the first thing that any IU fan would think is we want to be Big Ten champions. If you see it not doing it on the road against better teams, and we just talked about how you want to, what number do you want to put on Ohio State? They're a nice team, they're great, but they haven't shown they've been beating a lot of really good teams. It's the consistency level. It's Troy Williams scoring 6 points in the first 3.5 minutes of the game and scoring two the rest of the game and grabbing two rebounds. Why does that happen? Well, because he's a 19-year-old kid. That's why it happens. Stan Robinson comes in the game, ball goes through his hands, ball goes off his face, commits a 3-point play for a foul, misses a layup. Why isn't he getting better? Why isn't that happening? Colin Hartman's the biggest surprise there is. And Colin Hartman, if you go back and watch it, wasn't exactly – they're not going to review that and put that in his locker and say you're the defensive player of the game in the game either. So you've got all these young guys, and that's it. Young, you talk about youth, you have to. Yogi's it. He's the only leader that you had. People will argue you want to love Will Sheehy. You're allowed to love him. That's absolutely fine. But you heard about leadership all last spring, and he was the only senior.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not going to put Evan Gordon into this. He's over here for a cup of coffee. He doesn't get involved with that. People want the basketball team to be good. They don't want him to be well, we're better than the press thought we were going to be. They want to win games. Mm-hmm. They want to challenge for Big Ten championships. They want to play well against good basketball teams. They did that against Maryland and against Ohio State. Ohio State played really well against them. So it's this up and down. Just when you think Lucy's not going to pull the football away, well, that's what happens. And you go back to turning the ball over, and you go back to not finding your man on defense. You go back to not even running up and down the court hard to stop the other team. Right. Those are the little things if you do, and I've said this, you've known me forever, and we've done this radio program for a long time. If you give it your best and bust it, the fans will leave you alone. Well, they will if you play hard, if you get out there, why do you think they love
him? They love Colin Hartman.
Because he plays hard, he blocks out, he does that most of the time. He does all those little things that you want to see. You say, geez, look at all the talent that Shaq has if he just spent 5 minutes shooting free throws a day. But that's the example. The example is, why can't everybody be like the most effective guy? Well, it doesn't work that way sometimes. But what fans want, I think they want some consistency to show that this team belongs. They hear idiots like Seth Davis. Seth Davis ranked Indiana 13th in the country this week in his poll. So what's Seth Davis doing? He's throwing a line in the water trying to catch some fish.
Right.
Great. But people see that, they're casual fans, and say, well, we should be really good. What are we doing getting beat?
Yeah, he said. Yeah.
Well, and that's why we try to give you some levity and brevity on this program, because it isn't perfect. Basketball is a game of imperfection. And if you can minimize your imperfections, you don't have to rely on things like everybody setting career highs one night.
Right.
That's what happened against Maryland. Yogi hit a career high threes. Mm-hmm. Colin Hartman, 90 seconds into the game, hit the most 3-point shots in a game in his career.
Yeah.
90 seconds in. Mm-hmm. Not at the end of the night. He's had a great string right here. But those are the things that have to happen to beat really good teams. And what people want is a little bit more consistency. They would prefer not to have guys injured. They would prefer to have guys grab 8 rebounds a night, not 14 one night, 2 another night, and they average 7.5 or 8, whatever that math is. I think it's just getting to that level. But when you don't have heavy upperclassmen and you have to rely on these kids – They are kids. They haven't played a lot of college basketball. They're going to take bad shots. They're going to make bad decisions. Because what does everybody do when things get tough? They revert to what's comfortable. You play golf, right? You go take golf lessons, mm-hmm. and a guy changes your grip and changes everything.
Right.
But you're out there playing your buddy, and there's $5 on the line. Well, I'm not using that. I'm not sure if that works yet. So I'm going to go back to the old way, and more times than not, it doesn't work out because we're not very good at golf. But that's the point. The point is, yeah, I know I got to do this, but right now it's not – I got to do it my way until you grow out of that and learn mm-hmm. of that. So what our fans see is, why are they still doing that?
Yeah.
Well, they're 18. Colin Harmon's played no games here. Yeah. None. Zero. He's played this year, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't play last year healthy.
Yeah.
He couldn't get on the court on a 17-15 team.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can't just all of a sudden, hey, you've had two nice games. Here you go. But to expect Colin Hartman to play great for 12 straight games,
sure.
to expect Blackman and Johnson and Williams and Robinson – They're not at that stage yet. Yogi's a guy that you want to lean on and say, here you go, let's get after it. And when Yogi scores
but
a ton of points.
He's still one of the few that's got that time.
He is. And
Troy's the only other one with any time out there.
And Yogi's the other guy that has the ball in his hands enough where he can control that. Some other guys have to wait, make sure it gets controlled.
Right.
But the one thing we always talk about here, and this is what drives fans crazy, if you're not scoring, do something else.
Yeah.
Stop your guy from scoring, rebound, block shots, take charges, be a disturber, anything else except disappear.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't like to see. But we've got to remember they're kids. And there's a reason they were picked ninth in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
No.
If they were picked third and they're playing this way.
Here's why I asked that question.
I think that's what it is.
There's two reasons why I asked that question.
That's my fault.
My time here in Bloomington, which is
longer than mine.
Numbering 30 years at this point, but as an IU fan, because I wasn't an IU fan before that, it's clear that people around here like fundamental basketball. Okay, I get that. I mean, defense is that. I get that.
Right positions, exactly.
I understand that. I find people are not valuing the offensive fundamentals this team does play with nearly as much as they are disrupted about the defensive fundamentals they're not playing with.
Because
and it's not that that's wrong. That's what I noticed.
You need both.
And I know they play out of control sometimes.
In the old days that everybody wants to refer to, Steve Alford, no one cared if Steve Alford guarded anybody because there's four other guys that did.
Yeah.
Nobody cared if this happened because the teams were balanced. And every year you had four seniors. And every year you had three juniors.
Right.
And it's
a the game
world.
Nowadays, yeah. The game nowadays is so much about matchups at every spot. And you can see that
it
with
is.
Colin Hartman in
there
particular.
Is no – I don't think you can have too many complaints about Indiana's offense except that
– they're out of control sometimes.
It has to – you have to accept that to – go at that pace to score that much. You have to accept, and we've tried to tell you that on this program, when they're in transition, the three-point shot is a really good shot. I don't like the three-point shot when it's side out of bounds with 21 seconds and they make one pass and guy's got a hand in his face.
Right.
That's the stuff that isn't fifth-year seniors aren't doing that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's guys that are just, hey, I was kind of open and made this the last place I was at.
I had already decided
well,
I was
and I'm
going
to shoot it right now. And that's stuff you have to grow out of, or you have to be coached out of, or you have to be benched out of. And Indiana's bench right now is in absolutely no position to teach anybody a lesson.
No.
Because, number one, you're 5-2 in the league, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. very good. But when it's the way kind of you get beat as well. Against Ohio State in that game, Indiana cuts it to 6, 56-50, second half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been going real hot to that point. They get some stops. They shut it down. What happens on the next two possessions? D'Angelo Russell, the guy that's killed you
best
all
player
game,
on the floor.
Gets a hand in his face, 3, Stan did a good job closing him out. He made the shot. The next time down the floor, Blackman's not sure if we're in zone or man. He runs to a spot, then notices it's Russell over there. He runs out, it grabs him. He knocks down a 3. 6-point lead, 12-point lead. Boom, see you later. You cut it to 7, you cut it to 8, cut it to 7, cut to 8. But again, you didn't make that run to put any pressure on Ohio State because how does Indiana put pressure on?
Offense.
Yes, and they did. Indiana shot it really well in the second
half.
But they couldn't get enough stops in a row consecutively to do so. But they did in the first half. Look at the game at 9:49 in the first half. It's like 25-19, somewhere in there. Ohio mm-hmm. State doesn't score to the 5:40 mark. So they put in a chunk and took the game from 25-19 to 25-25. But that offense we talk about that has to put all the pressure on got it tied. They did in a 5-minute spell where their defense played really well. They didn't take the lead, or they didn't stretch the lead out. Maybe that you saw against Maryland, or you saw against Illinois in some of those times when Illinois went cold at the end of the game there. So that offense has to be really good And when I'm talking good, I'm talking perfect,
yeah,
because these defensive chunks don't come very often. So that's the tough part. Indiana fans want a balanced team that plays hard. And you know what? If you get beat, you get beat. But you want to see them clawing tooth and nail, digging back into those games that they always dig back into the Assembly Hall. That's the thing. The next step is you got to take it on the road against better teams. And Ohio State is more athletic and better basketball than Illinois and better than Nebraska. There's no question about
it. Look, I think you see 70 points, but let's be fair. Some of those three-pointers, look, some of them are good shots. Some of them were.
And when you're down 15, 16, you got to shoot them.
And I think the 12 three-pointers really masks the fact that it wasn't a great offensive effort.
The free throws and lack of bonus tells you what the offensive effort was about. The result's just a little different.
We'll look back a little farther at the Maryland game midweek.
Some happy times.
Absolutely. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming notes. We'll, of course, be with you Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, so tune in for that. We'll preview IU going up to West Lafayette to play Purdue. 9 o'clock game on the Big Ten Network, so we'll talk about that on Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, we have Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana at 6 o'clock. He'll have South wrestling coach Mike Runyon, a wrestling legend in his own, and also Aaron Sauter, the new Cutters football coach. And, of course, we'll have Super Bowl on Sunday starting at 2 o'clock, and you'll hear all about that all week long. We'll tell you more about it on Wednesday. 333-2665 is the phone number. Midweek, there was some good times here in Bloomington and at the Assembly Hall in particular, as 17-2 Maryland came to town, probably the best or second best test of the season for the Hoosiers. Of course, Louisville was right up there when they played them, but very good test. And as you mentioned, wasn't a defensive masterpiece by IU. It was better, but offensively, it really was better. What's interesting to me about these two games, the Maryland and the Ohio State game, is you see really good, I don't know about really good, large numbers of three-pointers made, and yet it felt to me like a much, much better offensive game in the Maryland game, and of course 19 more points, but it really did feel like the majority of
balance.
Those. Yeah, I mean, you had movement to the goal, you had 18 free throw attempts. To me, it felt much more like how they need to play all around on that end of the floor.
And it's at some point in the Maryland game as well, Maryland came at them with different defenses, and Indiana picked those apart, shredded and got them. A ton of layups.
Yeah.
And did you see Ohio State playing those?
No.
That did his home this time after getting it on the chin when he was in Bloomington, so you knew they were going to be tuned up and ready to go. But what you saw in the game with Maryland was Indiana got off to a flying hot start and let Maryland back in the game for a while. You thought, geez, Indiana should be up 20 points in this game. They're up three at halftime because Maryland, they've got some guys that have played big-time basketball before, but they hung around. That's exactly what they needed to do. You know you're not going to get it all back in a couple of shots. They're athletic enough where they should be able to grab a rebound or two here or there. Now, to be fair, there weren't a lot of missed shots Sunday, and there weren't a lot of missed shots in this game either.
Right.
Hard to grab some rebounds. But, again, Indiana shoots 72% in the second half. It's seven misses. Ohio State was 18-24 yesterday. They had six misses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that's how you win games, if you got to shoot it like that. But again, getting to the foul line, balanced scoring. When you have other guys that are scoring on a consistent basis, and we talk about those. You know, I said on Wednesday, first team to double figures is going to win, and Indiana handled that. They did because they're harder to guard. If you only have two guys that are consistently making shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's truly
spreading the
floor.
It's not hard to figure out.
No, I mean,
okay.
Colin Hartman's a story because he's hitting outside shots and playing some defense,
Colin
but mostly
Hartman,
because he stretches the floor for you.
Right, Colin Hartman hit two of his four threes in the final 5 minutes when Indiana was down 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't like these were lead builders or whatever like he did in the first 2 minutes when he had an assist and two threes, and all of a sudden Indiana's up 11-2 or whatever
right.
It was, and they're on their way. But the issue is they're harder to guard when this happens. And you know what? I don't know if Maryland's going to go down in any defensive Hall of Fame either, but when you spread things out, when you're moving, and you're playing at home, guys play better at home because they're more comfortable. They spend all this time in Cook Hall and Assembly Hall. It's not hard. It's your rhythm. It's your crowd. It's your underwear. It's your bed. It's all that stuff.
I hope it's your underwear everywhere.
Right. sometimes it feels a little uncomfortable when you got to take it out of your suitcase. So you put three guys in double figures. You have two guys with career nights from three, Hartman and Yogi. And at home, those are games you should win, especially when you shoot 60%. But what you liked in that game is Indiana dictated it. And it's a lot easier to be confident, Dave, when you're up 13 points. You saw it in Ohio State. These games are so interesting because they mirror themselves. When Ohio State had their big leads against Indiana, they slowed it down and waited for us to trap or come after and make mistakes, and then hit a guy in the post for a layup.
Right.
That's what Indiana did, but they had some threes go along with it, obviously, against Maryland, and they took them apart because the offense puts the pressure on. And Maryland, again, when you don't stop anybody, it doesn't matter what you shoot. So the Hoosiers get full marks for that game. They always get jacked up for big-time ranked opponents in the Assembly Hall. I think they're now 12-2 in their last 14 against top 25ers in there. And the crowd was savage on a Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Absolutely. Gives you plenty of time after school to get some food and drink in you and get riled up, ready to go. And the Hoosiers gave you something to cheer about. But you don't get that on the road. There's not a time on the road where you think, we're down six. Where do we get it from? Well, you get it in there. You get it from going through those things and pulling your way out.
Tell me about this, because I think the Nebraska and Illinois games are big wins on the road. Are they beating Wisconsin on the road? Of course not.
First of all, they
are on the road, and these are teams that have some offensive players and talent. This is not Rutgers and Northwestern. It's not. Now, they are not Ohio State. They're not Wisconsin. I get that difference. But, are those wins on the road that they got because they showed up tougher than they did at Ohio State, or because Ohio State's better and taking advantage of it? And
Ohio State's players were better on that night because you had two Illinois starters. One's a 10th-year senior who had 0 points, and Starks had 0 points.
Yeah.
They had 40% of their starting lineup didn't contribute.
Yeah.
And if you do that, I don't think you win very many games. Now, do you give Indiana credit for that? Absolutely. Do you give Indiana credit for being down multiple times and making runs back? Yeah, exactly right. But there's a reason why Illinois
– Well, the reason I say that, though, is it's in there.
It is.
And
that's the consistency.
The next step is the consistency. I say available like they can just pull it out at any time. I'm not sure that's true, but it's in there.
There's two things moving forward, I think, that are very important. And we talked about these at the beginning of the season. You have to go back to being a beast on your home court. You can't give away wins in Nebraska, Penn State, Northwestern. That's what happened last year. You don't like it, don't yell at me.
Eastern Washington is the one this year.
They had a close wiggle against Lamar or whatever it was. But those are the things. They threw away three games. You flip those, you're 10-7.
Yeah.
Or you're 10-8, right?
Mm-hmm.
You add, you're 7-11 in the conference last year. True or false? True.
I believe
that's right. So you flip three of them. That's 10 wins and 8 losses. And maybe you're in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But again, you have to be tough at home. So what do? You go out and you beat teams at home. That's the start. But Indiana can't think, hey, we're just at home. We have to do this. There's the factors that bring this together. You have to repeat the effort at home on the road. You have to find that inner drive, that inner guts that maybe only Yogi has seen because he's been through those wars enough. But he can't drag Indiana out by himself. He's not. Mm-hmm. I don't expect a lot of guys to do that. You saw Michigan State go to Nebraska on the weekend, and they lost. They lost the game because right now they don't have a lot of guys that sometimes make very good decisions or play as hard as Coach Izzo needs them. They're a more offensive team than Coach Izzo would like to be. He'd rather have guys that can lock you down and grid all the rebounds. And Dawson's awfully lonely.
He's got a couple guys he yells an awful lot at.
He does.
On the team.
And those are the guys you have to beat up and hope they get better. And that's what Indiana fans see. They see it happen at Wisconsin. They see it happen at Michigan State. They want to be in that conversation. But again, Izzo's doing that with Trice, who's a 5th-year senior, and guys that have been there.
I don't think it's fair to say this Maryland win was based on just hot shooting.
The Maryland win was based on good offense.
Okay, thank you. That's what it looked like to me. I mean,
because you checked the boxes.
Yes.
We got to the foul line.
Yes.
You had dunks and layups. You had transition points. You had a career
night. Rebounding again.
You had a career night shooting the three.
Only
10
turnovers.
Hurts
which
anything.
Makes a difference. That's five possession difference.
It does. And you notice, do you see any of our kids' heads drop at home when it doesn't start going well?
No.
No, you don't. But if you watched it yesterday, there's that. You're going to get bad calls on the road. It happens. Troy Williams charge, 7-point game there? Everybody, it's a blocker, it's a charge. What do you think that calls at Assembly Hall if Troy's going? Let's be fair.
Sure.
And the next time down, Hotzel, Adam Woodbury's loving in the eye. There's no call there. We get the ball back. But you never get those calls. So what you have to do is you have to play smarter. You can't give out extra possessions, especially when you shoot it like that.
Right.
You're only going to get a couple of them. Don't give Ohio, 15-8 in the turnover department?
15-10, yeah.
There you go. So there's extra possessions. There's extra shots. They had less shots against Maryland. But they were +15 from the 3-point line. How many did they win the game by? 19. They were plus 8 at the foul line. Again, you win those battles. That's aggressiveness. That mm-hmm. shows the offense is working and you're not settling. We talked about the ball not going beneath the free throw line extended. Right. Against Maryland, it went everywhere.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Corner to corner, yeah, middle of the zone, face and turn. You got a 2-on-1.
And when I talk about
when it works, it looks great.
It's the thing.
That's why they get upset.
When I talk about the fundamentals of the offense, though, that you've seen those flashes where this offense looks really good.
And I'm not knocking these coaches, but I'm going to knock these coaches.
Okay.
Mott is better than Gross. Mott is better than Tim Miles. Those are facts.
No, there's
those
no
are facts.
There's
so
no
what happens? He saw what happened on Thursday night and didn't get in it.
Mata sat Amir Williams, who was a disaster against Indiana the first time. Started the backup there, who's a kid that IU wanted, Anthony Lee.
Right,
played 2 minutes and took him out and just went ahead
he
and went
scored.
Small. John
right,
Gross stuck Nana Egwu out there for 27
kept
minutes
bringing him back in?
With no points and 2 rebounds on the entire game.
How many
filed out?
How many free throws did Illinois shoot at home?
I don't remember offhand, but it wasn't
a lot. 4-24 from three, dude.
Yeah.
Saw Penn State, jack him up. That's not the way you get it in Indiana.
I'm with you there. I don't think Mata's the greatest ever, but he's a much better coach than those guys,
and that's the point. They saw things that didn't work for Indiana, and they saw things that did work on that Thursday night game, and what he saw was, guess what Ohio State was doing until about 3 games ago? Playing a ton of zone.
Yeah.
A ton. Why? Right. These guys couldn't guard anybody.
No, we talked about that the last time around.
Wasn't happy with them. So what did he do? He started going to man and having guys start being –
changing his lineup a little bit.
A little bit more responsible.
2 straight games.
You go a little bit smaller. In Northwestern, they have Ola, who is Egwu's twin brother from Romania. Again, they have to guard the perimeter as well. It's a fascinating chess match, and that's another part of the Big Ten that we tend to just – uses throwaway comments, but there's some really good coaches in the league that watch a lot of film and do make adjustments. Does that mean Indiana can't adjust? No, it means absolutely they'll adjust. But looking ahead to Purdue right now, Haas is 7-2, Hammonds is 7-1.
Yeah.
How many did Hammonds get on us last year? About 36?
Yeah.
Now, these things happen. I get it.
No, this is the one matchup of the year that scares the hell out of you.
Well, the Kaminsky matchup doesn't make me feel good
no matter what.
Right.
But you're talking about the very specific matchup of a lack of an interior game against 2 7-footers. You know, you want to talk about a contrast. I mean, they've got to keep up with us too, but it's intriguing as hell to go into this game and think about what what's going to make the difference in this game. Are we going to run those big guys till they're panting and can't keep up, or are they just going to pound it inside? Because looking at it from the outside, it's an obvious mismatch one way or
both
another
ways.
That's got to go.
It's an obvious mismatch.
Well, that's what I mean.
Both ways,
which team wins that matchup, you would think, is going to tell a huge tale.
Well, and I think you've just answered the question, and we'll do more on it Wednesday. The team with the lead usually has the say in what goes on.
Yeah.
Because if you want to chase the game, which means, hey, you think you've got better matchups on the perimeter, they're going to paint those two guys inside one at a time.
They get a lead on us, they're just going to shove it in there all night long.
They're going to do that, and they're going to be very patient with the ball, and those possessions are going to shrink, and Indiana will have more pressure on their offensive game if they're not going to do that. We'll talk more on that on Wednesday. Maryland came to town. The key for the Hoosiers was no one on Maryland's defense could take a night off, and if you don't have five guys that are committed to doing that, which not a lot of teams do, Indiana is very hard to guard. You asked me earlier, why do fans get a little rumbly about it? Because when it looks like that, it looks great.
Well,
it looks like pure basketball pornography.
That team has a good inside game. It's not great, but it's a decent inside game. We took them out of that. It did. Dodd played 10 minutes and was an absolute non-factor.
And
they had no inside
game. They had to chase out of their comfort zone. Indiana's offense put that pressure on.
Yep.
Maryland had to adjust. And again, we'll see how good Mark Turgeon is when we head to Terrapin Station a week from
Wednesday,
2 weeks from Wednesday. So it's all out there. The 11th, we're at Maryland. The 3rd, we're at Wisconsin. That's where the rubber meets the road, and Indiana's regular season credentials will stack up.
Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. We got more to talk about when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes again. We've got Joe Smith Sports Talk live tomorrow, 6 o'clock, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. He'll have Mike Runyon, the South wrestling coach. He'll also have Aaron Sauter, the new Cutters football coach. We'll be back with you Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, as always.
Massive program. Super Bowl.
Huge.
Super Bowl preview. Indiana-Purdue preview. And we'll throw in a little Rutgers as well, because that'll be on Saturday before we're back on Monday.
A little change to the high school schedule, as we do not have Friday night ball, but we have Saturday night ball, as Columbus East is at North. Joe will be doing IU, so John Callahan and Terry Stultz gets to get the call. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk on Saturday night.
Sunday night or afternoon is the girls' high school tournament basketball pairings. Ah. So Joe will have all that for us Monday morning as well. So plenty of hoopage this time of year, and that's how it should be.
We've been dealing with injuries for this basketball team. Devin Davis before the season, Hunter Mascara-Perea for the last couple weeks, and who knows exactly when, but now we've got a brand new one. But we don't know what it is.
Before we get there, Tom Crean said today Devin Davis is finished for the year. He will not play. I don't think that comes to a surprise to anybody, but it is official. And he also said in a podcast somewhere last week that he expects Perea back middle of February. So that's where you're up to date. So that's where we're at.
We'll see. I mean, it's a kneecap injury. We've seen a few of those cost.
Yeah, patellar tendon. Those aren't fun. But the good news is we haven't heard the word surgery, because then we know that would be over and done with.
Here's what we know and don't know now. All of a sudden, coming out of the game yesterday, Robert Johnson was limited to 17 minutes due to some sort of leg injury. It seemed during the course of the game, he slipped on something courtside.
About the first 2 or 3 minutes going to the goal, he came down underneath it, and it was a cheerleader's little book there. And after hearing about that all day, when I went back and watched the tape today, we see him tipping off. So I'm looking at the cheerleaders, what they're doing, and some girls filled him with the book and pushing it back and pushing it back. The book was behind where the cheerleaders sit. Yeah. It was just unlucky.
He went flying through there.
His foot hit it, and it slid. So if his knee tweaked, he went with an ice pack on his knee. Everybody was reporting he had a new brace on after halftime.
The press from the press conference today is all suggesting maybe it's a groin situation. So,
but he did put a knee brace on, if you noticed that.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, because he had a white one on, and then after halftime he had a white one and a black one. So who knows? Okay. But again,
what we know is
you don't need another guy hurt.
Yeah, we know he's hurt, and you don't need guys hurt at this point in time. So we don't know what that means for Wednesday night or ongoing. They're not suggesting at this time that he's going to miss any time, but it's a who knows at this situation. So we will have to watch that. Robert Johnson hasn't been a flashy player for this team, and I think that's exactly what they've needed. They've needed kind of a steady dude. He has handled the ball more and more throughout the course of the season. He averages 9 points. He averages 3.5 rebounds. Not a huge assist guy, but he is second in the team on assists with 49 of them. He's there. He's probably their best defender from as far as footwork is concerned, as far as I've seen on this team. He does some of the little things. He doesn't put huge numbers up in any particular category. I think he's perfect for the rest of the team they've got out there, because he does most of the little things.
You need complimentary players. There's no question about that. And you saw yesterday after that knee deal, when he came back in the second half, he was a totally different player. He was turning the ball over left and right. He was trying to guard Russell, which – you got a bad knee, you don't need to be guarding Russell. That's not a very good matchup. I don't care what formation you're in. Russell's an awfully, awfully good player. Yeah, you don't need Limpy trying to stick with him. But Johnson, again, you don't need any more injuries, because you're running out of options. You're running out of guys. Now you're going to have to push some guys out of their comfort zone. And what Tom Crean and his staff have done for just about everybody is giving them a shake and say, hey, we're going to throw you in here. Try what can you do? And when Nick Zeisloff hits 4 out of 4 threes, everybody says, play him more. When he hits 1 out of 4, you say, well, what's
he's
going on?
He's a defensive liability.
Stanford Robinson, it's in his contract. He only plays well at Assembly Hall. We got to rip that contract up and get – that's not fair, because Stanford had a nice game at Illinois. But again, up, down, up,
he's all
down.
Over.
Well, that's the thing. And when you get into these injury situations, you don't have the luxury of plugging in a glue guy like Johnson that says, I don't have to worry about him for 10 minutes.
Right.
Just go out and play and get it done. And but that's, again, waiting for Stanford to grow up. Stanford was is a little bit unlucky in that game against Ohio State. We had one ball get taken out of his hands, one pass hit him in the face.
Yeah.
He gets a great offensive rebound, misses a little floater, gets an and-one on him. He's played at this level. Mm-hmm. That's where the frustration comes in.
We were talking off the air about confidence in some of these players.
Yeah,
but Stanford Robinson, every time down the court, does not look to me like he's got any confidence.
And every time he turns the ball over, what's he do? He looks at the bench, tells you he has no confidence.
Yeah.
And that's the thing he's got to play through and get after it, because – Tom Crean told you in the press conference, he's exactly right. He can guard guys one-on-one. He's athletic as all get out. He can get his shot going to the basket.
He's good with the ball. He's got a nice floater.
I think there's something in there that – and Troy's got a little of this too. It's you guys aren't auditioning anymore. You're here.
Right.
You're good.
Yeah.
Play within it.
Well, Stanford clearly play doesn't believe that. I mean, Troy should.
You got to play through it.
I mean, Troy's out there.
You can't figure that out in practice. You have to figure it out when the lights are on. What's a good decision? Attack here, pull it back here. Shoot here, not shoot here. There was a terrible possession. We kicked the ball over the whole thing. 14 seconds on the shot clock. It goes to Robinson. He takes a contested three.
Right.
It's not your shot.
That's not your shot.
Left-handed, right-handed, both-handed.
We don't know which hand. That was the first thing I looked at. Which hand did he shoot with?
Pump fake and go to the basket. Yeah. That's your strength. Mm-hmm. Get to the foul line. I know you're not the greatest foul shooter, but he's made some now that he's gone back left-handed. But again, play to your strength. We talked when the year started. We said there's going to be plenty of minutes on this team for guys that can do what's necessary.
Right.
You don't have to be the next James Blackman. James Blackman's going to score. That's his job. He's a scorer. Yogi's going to run the offense and get you tough buckets.
Rebounding. We knew we needed
Colin
defense.
Colin Hartman has checked all those boxes. Exactly. That's why he plays.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Emmett Holt's done a nice job. Mm-hmm. He had a tough start. We all understand why. But he's done a good job. But there's a reason he only plays 9 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's freshman. And when the other team's playing 6'4" as their biggest guy,
well, and that's why
6'5", he can't play in those situations.
Yeah, and I mean, Hartman's jumped all over that spot, but Holt will be out there more if they thought he was ready to play 20 to 25 minutes
and
a game.
And the matchup didn't help him against Ohio State that's not going to work.
Although
and
five Hartman rebounds in 9 minutes.
That's the point. And people say, why don't you play more? Because he has to guard for those 9 minutes as well.
When that situation happened, I said, start Hartman. You put him in that way anyway, so let's give it a try. And at the time, we didn't know that he'd be shooting that well. He'd be sprinting. We didn't have any idea. But my comment was this. Emmett Holt is doing really well right now and looks really good in 13 minutes a game.
Yes, he does.
And I, you know, you bring him in as a freshman, he's probably the least ready right now to play twice as many minutes and contribute at the same level. So let's keep him in that spot where you're getting good stuff out of him.
And you don't kill his confidence.
And you don't kill his confidence.
You don't kill it.
Yeah.
But again, some of those matchups when it was a little bit smaller,
it's harder.
But you saw in the game against Ohio State, some of the best spurts weren't pull up threes. It was Holt gets a bucket inside. It was Zeislav getting a rebound putback. It was Hotzel driving to the lane. It was Troy driving to the basket. That I can count about the six of them on my hand. James Blackman had two driving layups.
Yeah.
But when everything else is jump shots, that puts so much pressure on that offense. It's a new day on Wednesday. That's the good news. Everybody's up for that game. Simple. It's up there. And if you can't get up for that one, I don't want to hear about it.
Nope.
Indiana's thrown some stink bombs up there recently.
They have. No question about that. Last year, just got slaughtered.
It's not easy to win on the road, but that's where you got to take that next step if you're going to contend for a league title, Dave, and that's what fans want.
And again, an intriguing matchup, no question, in the middle of the lane in both ends of the floor. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday night. Remember, tomorrow night, Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi. So tune in for that also, and we'll talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.